When I discovered that the lectionary for this Sunday was about the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, I was really pleased because Nicodemus is one of my heroes, not least because of his Irish name, Nicodemus. And as you know, I have a soft spot for the Irish. But joking apart, I really like Nicodemus because, a bit like Thomas, who has been wrongly lumbered with the adjective doubting for centuries, Nicodemus has had a bad rap for a long time, and I don't think it's justified. His bad reputation is based on two things. First, the fact that he comes to see Jesus at night, which is supposed to be a bad sign. And secondly, he's judged to be a literal-minded dimwit, as he doesn't understand what Jesus said about being born again, or born from above. How can an adult person go back to their mother's womb? It doesn't make sense. Well, fair enough, I'd say. Imagine yourself in Nicodemus' place, hearing this for the first time, without the benefit of 2,000 years of Christianity. Would you have understood? I wouldn't have. But instead of clarifying that strange saying, Jesus piles up more strangeness by adding an apparently unrelated saying about the wind blowing where it pleases. So what is going on here? Well, it's worth remembering that we are dealing with the Gospel of John, and nothing is ever what it seems at first glance with John. There are double meanings, subtext, and many layers which need unpacking. So let's deal first with the fact that our friend Nick comes to see Jesus at night. An awful lot has been made of this, as the symbolic motif of the light and the darkness is a constant in the Gospel of John, as we all know. So it follows that Nicodemus, who comes at night, is a child of darkness. Well, maybe, but there was nothing unusual or suspicious in that culture about visiting someone at night. But if John is really telling us that Nicodemus is a child of darkness, he is so only when he first meets Jesus, as we see him embarking on a gradual journey from night to day, from darkness to light, as the gospel progresses. Indeed, after that first encounter, each time Nicodemus appears, he speaks and acts in a bolder fashion. In chapter 7, he speaks up in Jesus' defense, and then in chapter 19, he takes a very public, daring step by helping remove the body of Jesus from the cross and lay it in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He also personally provides an exorbitant amount of costly spices for Jesus' burial. The point, therefore, is not where we start, but where we end up as people change and evolve. So, far from being a child of darkness, Nicodemus is simply a seeker and an inquirer. He's a Pharisee, yes, but not all Pharisees were hostile to Jesus' movement. And there was nothing wrong per se, anyway, about being a Pharisee. Remember that Paul was one, and he was proud of it. The whole movement started as a reaction against Hellenism, the increasing Greek influence over Jewish thought, practice, philosophy, and religion. So the more sincere and zealous Jews separated themselves and became a distinct class of pure and pious defenders of Jewish tradition. The problem was that in Jesus' time, many of them had assumed positions of power and often abused that power. This is what Jesus was attacking, not the movement itself. So it seems clear that our friend Nick comes to see Jesus at night simply because he's curious and fascinated by that rabbi from Galilee, but he simply wants to avoid being seen by others. That's fair enough, really, because it is his personal quest, and he wants to know why such a man of God, as he says, has not joined their ranks. They had the same goal, after all, reforming and purifying Judaism, even if they had radical different methods. So I think Nicodemus is genuine in his curiosity. What he has not counted on, of course, is that Jesus rarely acted as people expected him to do. Cutting to the chase, he does not even let Nicodemus ask any questions. Instead, he comes up with that amazing statement, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Whatever Nicodemus was hoping for, he certainly did not expect that total change of register, and certainly got much more than he bargained for. First of all, Jesus totally ignores Nicodemus' reference to his miracles because, as John makes eminently clear in several instances in his gospel, nobody should follow Jesus because of his miracles. Miracles are just signs which reveals a deeper reality. And then Jesus comes up with that mysterious condition necessary to enter the kingdom of God: to be born again or from above, as the Greek word means both. The expression, as we know, has been appropriated by some Christians and has become synonymous with an emotional experience linked to a public acceptance of Jesus, and accompanied by a literal reading of the Bible and a rejection of science. The last incarnation of this that recently made the news here is the new head of the Democratic Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, Edwin Coutts, who believed that the Earth is 6,000 years old when the scientific evidence suggests at least 13 billion. As I was preparing this sermon, I came across a true anecdote recounted by an American priest, which perfectly illustrates that kind of faith. She was in the waiting area of a tire shop while new tires were being fitted to her car. To pass the time, she was reading a magazine when she became aware that someone had sat down in the chair next to her. This seemed odd because she was the only one in the room and there were plenty of empty chairs. She continued reading. But then a leaflet was put in front of her face with the heading, "How to be born again." And she heard a voice ask, "Wouldn't you like to read something of more eternal significance than this? Are you born again?" She looked up and saw a man looking at her expectantly. As she did not reply immediately, he asked, "Well, are you?" So she answered, "I am glad you asked me that question because I have been reflecting on Jesus' word to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, and I don't think he means born again as if it were some emotional lightning strike that once it's over, we speak of our salvation in the past tense. I think being born again is a lifelong process." At that, the man shook his head disapprovingly and said to her, "Geez, lady, it's a yes or no question. How hard is this?" And he took back his leaflet and left. That sort of interpretation sometimes serves as a wedge between those who are saved and those who are not and will therefore perish. This is not helpful, as our faith is not about who is in and who is out, but rather about God's consistent intent to love and bless the whole world. In fact, the faith that Jesus is calling for from Nicodemus and from us, of course, is a new way of seeing reality. To be born again is to enter the world with a new set of guiding principles, a new way of approaching everything. Being born again is allowing the seeds of the Spirit to enter our soul, germinate there, grow there, until our relationship to all around is changed forever. And this is not a once-in-a-lifetime event. We continuously need to be open to the ongoing work of the Spirit, as such a process is totally unpredictable, like the wind, which goes where it pleases, as Jesus said. Movement, change, and surprise are woven into the very fabric of the Christian faith. As it is unpredictable, it can be a frightening perspective, because the wind may waft away items and people to which we have become attached and blow in others we wouldn't have chosen. If we start letting the wind of the Spirit blow through our souls, our church, our families, our relationships, who knows what might be blown out and what might blow in? Anything can happen. So the only thing we need is total trust in God. Easily said, I know, but this is what faith is. Trust, not believing in a set of doctrines. Trusting God is a process that takes time and practice. And that journey does not follow a linear progression, but accepts the unpredictable and disquieting nature of life as itself an encounter with God and a move ultimately towards God, trusting that He's involved in that very process. Amen.